Hello and welcome to another edition of American Pale Males, your nerdy beer tasting podcast. As always, I am your bruised and battered host, Jeremy, and with me as always is the presumably not as bruised and battered.
It's me, Michael. All wounds are healed, so I'm doing good.
I'm getting too old for mosh pits, Michael.
Oh, that's why. Yeah. I can understand that.
I'm a little banged up, but I'm alive.
Good. It's not like a bike accident or anything like that.
Well, no, it's not that. It just feels like it because I'm a wiener. But
okay.
But yes. How in the world have you been? Did you get banged up over the weekend, Michael?
No, it was mainly driving to various luncheons and dinner parties. Yeah.
So I was in a rock club / restaurant / allegedly a brewery, and you were at a luncheon.
I didn't know that. Yeah. I didn't. So what brewery was that? So that was down in Davenport, right?
Rock Island, but
okay. The Quad.
It's called Rock Island Brewing Company. That said, I've never heard of anyone making beer there.
Oh, really?
Yes. But as the beer brag will show, that's not to say that there are not other breweries in the Rock Island area. So, with that teaser hanging out, Michael, why don't you tell me what your beer brag for the week is?
Sure, I'll go first. I actually have two beers in my beer brag.
Yeah, well, then I have two, too. Two can play at this...
Two game.
Game of two? I don't know.
There's a pun in there somewhere. Mm-hmm. My beer brags
number two.
Are...
there. There we go. There's your joke. Take that.
Very similar, but very different. So they're both from Three Sheeps Brewing in Sheboygan, Wisconsin.
Sheboygan.
Yeah, Sheboygan. And they're both barrel-aged. The first one is Veneration, which is a Belgian-style quad with figs and molasses aged in rye whiskey barrels.
Interesting.
And the other one is Roll Out the Barrel, Belgian-style golden ale aged in Chardonnay barrels. So, obviously very different flavors. I'm starting with the Veneration. It was interesting because the whiskey barrel flavor in a lot of barrel-aged beers tends to be very strong and pronounced, and a quad tends to also be very strong and pronounced in its flavor profile. So it was like both of these flavors were trying to dominate and trying to overwhelm each other, and they kind of canceled each other out in some ways and kind of exacerbated each other in other ways.
Mm-hmm.
It was very different, though, and very good. I can't think of a barrel-aged quad I've had recently anyway, so it was very delicious. But if I had to choose between the two, I think I might give it to the golden ale aged in Chardonnay barrels, just because I tend to like the... Well, I guess going back to the reason before is those two strong flavors. Maybe not my favorite types of beer, just solo, like a solo whiskey barrel-aged or a solo quad. You know, Chardonnay is not my favorite flavor, but the golden ale aspect of this one really bigged it up for me. So I like that one. But both of them were super interesting, super tasty. So I'd recommend either of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they both clock in. Let's see. The quad was a 13.2% and the golden ale was a 12.4%. So Ooh. Heavy hitters, but delicious at that.
Well then. Okay, that changes what my second beer was going to be.
Okay, so now I'm intrigued. What
but
you
yeah,
got?
So I went to Wake Brewing in Rock Island, Illinois. It is about 2 blocks away from Bent River, if you've been in the area.
Okay.
But it's a relatively new brewery. The only thing I can talk about when it opened was there was an article saying, hey, it opens on Saturday as of Halloween.
Oh, okay.
So it's only been open a couple months. It's a relatively small operation. But where it comes into my favor is that there are no TVs in the tap room.
Ah, yes.
The walls are painted black.
Oh.
There's just a series of bare light bulbs hanging from the ceiling. Not an exaggeration. That are, like the old-timey ones that have, the super thick filaments in them.
You're right. The Edison bulbs, I think they're called, or something.
Something like that. And there's a bunch of awesome pictures of people shredding or headbanging in a crowd or the Spaceman from the Sleep albums. But it's for the beer, and the one I'd like to talk about from there is Hand of Doom, which is a stout. and also a Black Sabbath song title.
Okay.
What I really liked about the stout is, and I believe it clocked in at 7.5, was that it didn't have any of that sweetness.
Okay, so nice dry stout.
Yes, it was very dry, it's very roasty. Wake Brewing's first stout offering, as black as it gets, with notes of dark chocolate and malted roasted malts. You know there is no return. This is a hand of doom. So the flavor text doesn't tell you much, but
okay.
Rather than like taste like, you know, this is a chocolate stout or this is a coffee stout, this one had, you know, like flecks of that in there, but it was mostly just, this is a big black burly malt, just roasted beyond all recognition, and it was pretty fantastic. Had just the right amount of carbonation to keep things from like feeling one note or a little bit too flat on the tongue. I believe I gave it a 4.25. But
nice.
But Michael.
Okay.
I got my hands on Big Grove's first bottled release about a week or two ago.
Oh.
It's called Buster, because when the first two times they made this beer, it busted their mash tun.
Well, how's that work?
Well, it's a triple IPA.
Okay.
And I suppose that's how it did it, is there's just too much malt and grain in there.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. I don't know the story behind it too well. It's, so like I said, it's their first release. It's delicious. I had a really hard time figuring out what the hop profile was. And it doesn't look like anything terribly special, but the hops are just super balanced. The malt backbone is there, but it's not that overpowering, sickly sweet things that sometimes happens on like a triple IPA. And it's just an explosion of hops that never gets to one note. It's got the bitterness, it's got the floral aspects to it, it's got the fruity aspects to it, and it's kind of all over the place in the best way. It covers all quadrants of the IPA map, I guess, is another way to put it.
And maybe that might, I don't want to jump to conclusions here, but maybe somewhat similar to the FDR?
That's a very good point. I hadn't even thought of that.
Not having that one, I don't want to say it is, but
well, I can,
it sounds like they might kind of be similar.
I suspect it is going to be somewhat similar.
Yeah, so we'll see.
Yeah,
keep that in the back of your mind, audience.
Heck yeah.
But first, we'll move on to the American Pale Male Male Pale.
Excellent. Yet another time.
Yeah, I'm getting that down.
Mm-hmm.
Where former host of the show, Mike, tossed a little tweet at us, alerting us to this interesting product that I just wanted to get your thoughts on, Jeremy.
Yes, sir.
And I've heard of breweries doing this before, distilleries doing this before. This is the Jameson Caskmates IPA edition, and this is where the whiskey has been aged in IPA seasoned barrels, which I guess actually here is Irish pale ale, which would make sense.
Wait, really?
That's what it says, yeah.
That Irish seems like fraudulent advertising.
Of the I in IPA?
Yeah.
I guess, yeah, it says IPA edition. I was going to say, does it say Irish pale ale edition? No, it says IPA edition.
Huh.
And so the interesting thing is their ultimate recycling, I guess, because the Jameson will send their whiskey barrels to the brewery, and the brewery will send them back after aging their beer in them. And I guess they've done this before with a stout, which seems to go a little more hand-in-hand. An IPA seems a little different flavor accent to have in whiskey. They say that the taste is hops with light citrus and sweet herbal notes and delicate spicy tones, with a finish of fresh fruit and hops that give way to grains and barley and a signature smooth finish. I'm not a big whiskey person, so I'd be curious to try this, but I'm pretty sure I wouldn't like it, regardless of what beer had been in the barrel. But I'm wondering, you, Jeremy, how does this pique your interest? Does it seem like a gimmick? Is it something you're generally interested in? Or where do you kind of fall on this?
Well, I'm torn.
Okay.
You've
been distraught, pulling your hair out all week.
I have been. I've been staying up all night. I can't sleep. I'm losing weight. No. I don't think it's a good idea.
Okay.
Because the hoppy...
Is it the beer?
It's the beer in the whiskey, not the whiskey in the beer.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like, I'm not... But the Irish whiskey is the part that throws me off. Because whenever I have, you know, a barrel-aged whatever, mm-hmm. it's almost always a bourbon barrel.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of, you know, the weird variants of Dark Lord that they throw out.
Now, let me interject and play the fool, because I kind of am here.
Mm-hmm.
What would be the big difference between bourbon and Irish whiskey?
Irish whiskey is very, very smooth.
Okay.
As opposed to... I'm pretty sure at some point I've probably made you drink whiskey with me at a bar over the years. I'm sure it's happened, but
you
I don't...
know, I've had Jameson before, yeah.
Okay. So where that might be super smooth, bourbon is more... It's more of when, you know, you're like sneezing after
okay,
that.
Okay.
It's harsher.
Kind of like a little bite.
I like the bite, but it's not for everyone.
And so you're thinking that Irish whiskey does not match in your brain with the IPA notes.
Well, I mean, it could be.
You'd have to try to find out, obviously, but.
Mm-hmm. I just don't think it works out, but I am curious as you to try it. I don't think I would buy like an entire fifth of it.
Yeah.
But I would be tempted to buy a pint.
Yeah. Or if they had it in the little shooters.
Oh, an airplane bottle, even better.
But I doubt they're putting this in. Those.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you find Jim Beam regular or Jim Beam with like the weird apple flavoring in it or something. Mm-hmm. You find those in shooters. You don't find like, oh God, what is it?
Special edition.
Johnny Walker Black or anything like that. Okay. I mean, maybe you do. I haven't seen it. But curious but hesitant. That's my final answer.
Okay. Fair enough. Maybe if we cross paths with it somewhere, we'll report back. But it's just conceptually interesting, so I thought it was worth bringing up. So
mm-hmm. It is a fascinating concept to discuss, but I think these particular streams should not be crossed.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mike, for sending that our way. Now, Jeremy,
mm-hmm.
I kind of have a little mail of my own.
Mm-hmm.
Again, kind of wanting to pick your brain. So at one of these dinner, luncheon, soirees I was at, the question came up, how many beers can fit into a Frisbee? Do you know the answer to that?
I do know the answer to this.
Because we were thinking it's probably much, much higher than you would expect.
It sure is. So, cousin of the show and grubs of the show, I did not prompt him on this one, just so you know. Okay, before I go into how I know this, why did this
come up?
Yeah.
Because...
Did someone dare you to drink a disc of beer?
No.
Okay.
There was a wine glass that could fit a whole bottle of wine in it at this person's house.
Yes.
And it didn't look very big. It just looked like slightly larger than a regulation wine glass. I don't know what the term is, but...
Regulation
But
wine
the
glass.
Guy was like, yeah, you know, it can definitely fit a whole bottle in there. Somebody brought up, yeah, like it's kind of like a Frisbee or something like that, so...
This is one of those... So I play Ultimate Frisbee during the summers. Well, I did for the past 11 of the last 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I couldn't exactly do it this past year due to a broken collarbone and broken ribs, but
yeah,
I am going back into it come hell or high water this year. At the time, the league that I play in here in town would have enough money left over at the end of the summer from registration fees and you know, fundraisers, things of that nature, to throw a bit of a party at the end of the year, and they would rent out a park, and there would be like... hamburgers, hot dogs, Boca burgers, chicken breasts, cake, thing like that.
Mm-hmm.
And just a ridiculous amount of beer. I believe it was after my third year, there was so much beer left. And Frisbee people can drink. There was so much beer left over that we walked down, I think it was Gilbert Street, with two garbage bags full of beer, handing them out to random house parties, and we still had too much.
Okay.
It was just like a big old saying. It's like, here, you want this? Here, take it. But the answer to your question, Michael, is a pitcher of beer.
Okay.
Can fit in an upturn. Yeah.
Which is about four pints.
Yes. And so what people will do is, when there's someone who doesn't know that that is the case, they will say like, haha, you know, if you win, the loser has to drink a Frisbee's full of beer, or they'll dare some well-meaning but headstrong, you know, 21-year-old. Yes, we'll go with 21-year-old.
Okay.
To drink a Frisbee of beer, and then they'll like, I can do it. It's only, how many can you get? And they're like, two beers. And then they pull out the large glass pitcher that's pre-filled with beer just to get the look on their face. And they like, it's an immediate drop in the face. And then the disc can't be tacoed, as it's known, or bent in any way.
Right.
But if you do it really, if you upturn it on like a picnic table, and you do it real slow, you can get an entire pitcher of beer in there thanks to the whatever.
Surface tension?
Physics of surface tension, yes. That's the word I'm looking for.
Oh, wow.
It's intense. It is no joke, man. Don't, unless you can do that, don't do that.
Okay, unless you can, okay. Very good. Now, you don't have to say if you drank the whole thing or not,
oh,
but you've
God,
done
no,
it
I can't,
before?
I can't do that. No.
Okay.
I knew the second they asked me, just having known these people for as little time as I had when this started going around, I was like, I do not trust, absolutely not. It's like, there's something going on here, and I do not trust you people. And I was right to do so. It's funny, though. It's very funny.
And I imagine they have to just kind of, like, dip into it like a chicken or something like
yes.
that, like, initially.
Yeah, initially, yes. Much guff is given to people who spill.
Oh, sure, yeah. Oh, that's cool. Okay. I suspected it was pretty high, but
it's striking how much can fit. It really is terrifying.
And Jeremy, so an adjacent question, going to your memories of Frisbee.
Mm-hmm.
This is more of a personal interview type question.
Yes, sir.
What is your greatest Frisbee memory? Like your playing Frisbee, the sweetest thing you've ever done that really sticks out in your mind, or one of a few that sticks out in your mind?
Well, like I said, I've been doing this for quite some time. I'm not saying that I'm any good at it.
Right.
But, so I don't know if it's the best thing that I've done, but it is the most memorable.
Okay.
So I was playing defense, and one of the guys that I was guarding making a cut towards the end zone to get a disc that had been thrown to him.
Mm-hmm.
So he lays out for it. There's a lot of diving involved in this, and I'm pretty okay with breaking myself, as we've established. But the way he landed, so imagine you're laying on your right side with your right arm stretched out as far as you can.
Okay.
Now, if you rotate your body a little so that you're like kind of on your back-ish,
mm-hmm.
you can sort of stretch out your arm a little bit farther.
Sure, yeah.
So the guy I was guarding was like that. And he lands on his right hip, and his left leg goes, his foot goes flat on the ground with his leg kind of bent at an angle. And I laid out just a little bit too long after him. And I landed on his leg that had been planted and cleated into the ground, with mm-hmm. my shin directly perpendicular to his shin.
Oh, no. Okay.
Right on, right in the middle. And I felt his shin bone bend underneath my weight. Now, I'm not a large person, but play immediately stopped, and I got him up and helped him off the field and everything. And he came back the next day. We had Frisbee with a cast on his leg, and I felt horrible.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, that very up and close personal grizzly anatomy, I guess you could
yeah.
say.
Yeah. Other than that, it's probably I'm really bad about knowing how deep the end zone is.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something known as a hammer cut. Have you ever seen the hammer throw?
I think you might have demonstrated it for me.
Upside
once,
down, and it kind of curves the opposite way you'd think it would.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good way to get around defenders, and it's, if you have a lot of people who can like really put some mustard on, it's a quick way to get across the field for like an end zone set. I know I've been playing with some of these same people for long enough that I can just, you know, get at the back of the end zone and just point to where I'm going to go, and they'll immediately whip it. And then you got to run as fast as you can because the disc is cooking.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have time to check where I'm going, so I have this nasty habit of catching the disc and then immediately just dragging my toes and flopping on my belly.
Okay.
It's usually, like, not once has it, like, proven to be, like, an awesome, oh my god, you dragged the toe. It's just one of those things, like, I feel like I have to do or I'm going to be out of bounds.
Okay, like a football, like a wide receiver.
Yeah, when you're trying to drag the toes, yes. It's that exact same thing. It's fun. Falling down when you're probably not going to get hurt is fun.
Oh, very good. Thank you for sharing those Frisbee memories, Jeremy. I knew you had some in there that would be a good one to hear. So
indeed, and I can't tell you how amused I am that somehow you came across the idea of chugging a disc of beer. And as a matter of fact, I'm just sending you proof that it does in fact.
Oh, you just sent me a YouTube link. Okay.
Four beers and a Frisbee. I made this because no one would believe me. Four beers could fit in one regulation-sized Ultimate disc. Maybe we'll have to put that on the
Facebook or
yeah,
the Twitter.
We could do both.
Yeah.
After we put this episode up, we don't want spoilers going out for people.
That's right.
Yes. But is it time, Michael?
I think it's time.
Is it time? Is it Vader time?
I'm making a big... But the Vader time was very similar to Live Long and Prosper by Spock, right?
It was the same, except he had the
thumb tucked.
Yeah. Who had the thumb tucked? Was that Vader or Spock?
I think Vader had the thumb tucked.
I think so, too, because he wanted it to look like a V.
Right, yeah.
As I sit here staring at my hand.
That's what I'm doing, too. It's not quite Vader time yet. It's actually FDR time.
Oh.
And, yeah, imagine my fingers making an FDR symbol. I'm really doing it. Don't question it.
People can spell out blood with their fingers. So
that's true. Somebody did that once in sixth grade, and I'm like, holy crap.
I think friend of the show Zach can do that, and there's a few pictures of him dressed up like... One year he went as like an old-timey diner woman for Halloween.
Uh-huh.
And so he's wearing... He had like big fake boobs underneath his uniform, and I believe there's a picture of him doing the blood symbol on that. It's just delightful. Because he has a giant beard and a blonde wig and big fake boobs on.
That is...
You can see the picture in your head, can't you?
I can, actually. I think I might have seen that picture before somewhere along the line.
Oh, I'm easily amused, Michael.
Yes. But yeah, I'm doing that with the FDR. Jeremy, what is the FDR?
What is? FDR is find beer, drink beer, rate beer. Dropping words now?
And today we have a beer that I got, but now Jeremy.
It's in the news, son.
As of yesterday, this brewery is in Iowa City. Available in Iowa City, I should say.
It is. It's all over Iowa, apparently. Yeah, buddy.
So we're doing Dogfish Head 90-minute IPA.
Looking at their website, yeah. there's 60, 75, 90, and 120. I think I've. Steve, did we have 120 that one time? I feel like
Steve did have 120 at
okay.
one time.
Okay, yeah. I feel like I had one of those with him.
Now, without digging too much into the website, Jeremy, do you want to guess the order that these came out?
Oh, boy.
Chronologically. Mini trivia here, and no fault if you don't get it, because it's...
I'm guessing 60, 120, 90, 75.
Mm.
Because like 120 seems like... a ridiculous amount of work to do for a concept that's not proven.
So the first one came out in 2001, and it was actually the 90-minute IPA.
Oh, interesting.
And that was followed up in 2003 with the 60 and the 120.
Mm-hmm.
And then the 75-minute IPA actually came out in 2011, and that was looks like it was a limited release type thing. The 60 and the 90 you can get all year round. The 120 is released in April and November, so that's more limited. But I think like the 75, I'm assuming you can't get that anymore. It says under release, it says rarities.
Huh.
But we're talking about 90 today. So
should I read the color text, Michael?
Yeah, go for it. Go for the color text on the 90. It's actually, there's a cute backstory to it, so...
All right, well, I am looking at the cute story on the website here.
Yeah, it's a little long, but I say go for the whole thing.
What you have here is the only Imperial IPA in America inspired by a bowl of soup and a thrift store football game. Back in the 90s, Sam was struck by a cooking show demo teaching viewers how to properly season soup through a process of continuous peppering. As it stewed and simmered, the chef added pepper in small but consistent doses, bringing through a unique, bold taste and intense savory notes. If it worked for soup, why not beer? And taro bang. Inspiration sparked, and Sam knew that Dogfish needed to bring this idea of continuous dosing to our hop additions in the brew house. Enter our thrift store electric football game. If rigged at just the right angle over the brew kettle and covered with hops instead of small dancing football players, the vibrating playing field would perfectly shake and shimmy the hops cascading down into the boiling wort at a consistent rate. I had no clue that that was the point. Continual hopping was born. I thought they just like would... Anywho.
Yes.
Continual hopping provided a beautiful balance to our Imperial IPA, allowing us to add a foolhardy amount of hops throughout the boil without making 90-minute crushingly bitter. With rich pine and fruity citrus hop aromas and a strong malt backbone, 90-minute IPA created pungent, unapologetic flavor that led Esquire to call it, quote, perhaps the best IPA in America.
I love that football.
That's
football,
that is delightful. I'm glad I didn't read that beforehand.
Yes. I've had... I think we've had the 60 on the show before, actually. And maybe I'll bring that up as for a reference when we do ratings without looking at it right now, but just saving that for later.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
And it, I don't know if it was Mike era or Jeremy era either.
I don't think it was me. I think that was Mike.
Okay. So we'll double check on that in a little bit. But so I've had the 60, and I actually had this a while back, and I remember liking it, but it's been a while, so I need to get in there again. The 120 I've not had, but I've been told, probably by you, actually.
Probably
that it's
by me.
Pretty weird.
It's a heavy, heavy beer.
Okay. Hopefully this hits the sweet spot. I don't know if we said, did we say 9 ABV? 9%
ABV? We did
not say
that.
And 90 IBU. So that's pretty cute. So
it's cute, Michael?
Yeah, well, 90 minute.
Oh, hey, I didn't even pick up. Okay, never mind. I thought you were just being weird.
Yeah, so I guess we can quickly say Dogfish Head, also, I would say, a stalwart of the craft brewing industry.
Yeah.
They're in Delaware.
We're going to Delaware.
And in 2016, Craft Beer Brewers Association Top Brewers by Volume, they were number 16. So definitely up there. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, shall we get into it?
Let's get into it.
Sweet. Are you using an IPA glass, Michael?
I have a straight tulip glass that's
on
a pedestal.
A footed tulip?
Yeah.
Do they make stemless tulips like they make stemless wine glasses?
Nah, I would assume so.
That seems like a terrible idea.
It doesn't seem good for beer.
Beautiful. Look at that color.
Yeah, nice copper color. Maybe a little lighter on the copper side.
It's always kind of striking to me how like they're not just like black or brown, and they can get like that little orange yellowish hint in there.
Yeah, yeah. This particular glass has like an etching on the bottom, so there's a nucleation site, and so I'm getting lots of effervescence from that.
Well, you think you're just so big.
But otherwise, it's pretty calm waters. I don't know about you and your glass, Jeremy.
It's about the same. There's about a pinky's worth of head on the top.
Yep.
It's, what do we got for the scents here? Well, as ever, I am fighting a cold that just will not go away.
You know, it's not very strongly scented. It has a nice, clean smell to it.
Mm-hmm.
A little graininess, actually, more so than hoppiness.
Hmm.
And there's a slight hop aroma, but it's not like the bouquet of flowers type hop aroma that you get from some IPAs.
True. I also am kind of hamstrung by the fact that I made the mistake of putting on Icy Hot before I did this.
Smells like menthol and camphor.
It kind of does. But yeah, I'm not getting a ton of nose out of this one, but...
It's pretty subtle.
Yeah.
I guess let's go in. Jeremy, why don't you go in first?
I did.
Okay.
That's very good. Before I forget about it, before I get too far down the rabbit hole of this one, It is similar to Buster, but Buster was a little bit more citrusy.
Okay. Yeah, this is definitely more of the piney variety.
Mm-hmm. Which, you know, I feel like, well, I had this discussion with a coworker today about how anything that's labeled, like, about the nonsense in labeling of IPAs, because now the new sweetness is to label any hazy IPA a New England IPA.
Right.
Which, when I think of New England IPAs, you think the earthy, piney, kind of dank hops, right? As opposed to the citrus-y ones.
Right, yeah.
Okay.
Like, I don't connect citrus with New England.
But, you know, much like our ongoing tirade against, my ongoing tirade against amber ales, or brown ales, or black ales, or, you know, whatever.
It's a misnomer, yeah.
It's not only a misnomer, but it's not even consistently applied.
Right.
Because according to the coworker of mine, who has spent some time in the Atlantic Northeast,
mm-hmm.
sampling their wares and their IPAs, they called the what is now being known as a New England IPA a West Coast IPA. Because, you know, a citrusy one is traditionally just thought of as a West Coast IPA.
Hmm.
That's neither here nor there. We're not talking about New England IPAs. We're talking about the 90-minute from Dogfish Head. Michael, what do you think?
What I like about this beer over the what I recall about the 60-minute is, so this higher ABV, and this tends to be a thing I like about higher ABV IPAs, it cuts through that hoppiness a little bit. Whether it's the continually hopping that is making this smooth, or the ABV is, or for that matter, the higher malt that you need to get to that ABV, it just tends to attenuate it a little bit, balance it out a little bit. I mean, overall, it's a very strong flavor profile, but it's strong malt, strong hops, strong alcohol-type taste. So,
definitely has a little bit of that green burn on it.
Mm-hmm. As far as IPAs go, and you know me and IPAs, I like it.
You hate them.
I like this. I hate them.
Yeah. I hate them. The Michael story.
I don't hate them, actually, but they just have to be made well.
With any beer, you know, balance is key. But with, like, a session or a single IPA, I don't know what you would call it, a standard IPA, you can get away with just wailing on the hops. And, I mean, like, Sierra Nevada's Pale Ale, the green one.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty hoppy beer.
That is a pretty hoppy
beer. It's not absurd, but it just feels like there's a ton of hops in it. Because they wail on the hops, and there's not a huge malty backbone to back it up. Whereas things of this nature, with that higher ABV, as you've said, I think they require a little bit more of a deft touch in regards to the balancing.
Yeah. One thing I'm noticing about this, too, is I'm not getting so much saturation of the taste receptors for the bitterness, where it just comes... I believe we refer to it as the, like, rolling out the wrestling mat or...
the spray paint syndrome?
Spray paint syndrome, yeah, where, like, the hops are just spray painted on your tongue and it's just dead.
Although I do kind of like the image of rolling out the wrestling mat.
That came up in some episode, but this doesn't have that as much, at least not yet, which is another thing about heavily high IBU beers that falls flat for me, and this one's not doing that, so points for that.
Also gets point. I mean, I think what's the reason why it's not, you know, just gutting your bitter receptors or your nose, or just leaving a mossy carpet on your tongue, is it's probably that, I mean, probably it is that continual hopping.
Right. Yeah.
Because so if they just dumped a ton in at the various boil points, then you get a lot of aroma. Or a lot of bitterness.
There you go, yeah. For people who don't homebrew or are not familiar with the process, typically, for most beers, you'll boil them for an hour. And at certain points, you'll add hops, usually at zero. Well, zero, you probably wouldn't do it, but
some of them.
I guess you could. Yeah, 0.50.
You do bitterness early.
Yeah, so 0.15.
Flavor, moderate.
That'd be around 30.
And then aroma, flame out.
15 right at the end. Out, yeah. So obviously, the earlier you put in your hops, the more bitter your beer is going to be, and if you put them later, the more aromatics you'll get. So with this being continuously hopped, you know, you should get a nice spectrum of bitterness, flavor, and hoppiness, very smooth across the spectrum, which I think I said earlier. So I like that. I like that notion of, I don't know, I think this probably should be applied to a lot of IPAs to make them more balanced.
I wonder if the amount that they use is a very, like, micro-dosing, basically, but with hops instead of LSD. That's got to be it, right?
Okay, yeah, yeah. Yeah, right.
Because if they continually hopped it for 90 minutes with an ounce at a time, or A, it would never have enough time to dissolve into the wort, I would imagine, mm-hmm. and it would just be gnarly and gross, so it's got to be a small amount, but it's done very well. I really enjoy the balance on this.
Yeah, and with that, it kind of, you know, some IPAs you drink, you get like a blast of flavor at the beginning and then a blast of bitterness at the end. This,
uh-huh.
as it goes across your tongue, it seems to be smooth across your entire tongue. But yeah, I think we kind of talked about a lot of the merits. Should we get into ratings? And if we want to say anything more, we can do it as we rate.
I'm going to give this one a sip of judgment, Michael.
Okay.
Entertain the fine people.
Okay. I'm kind of, I think I have mine locked in. I'll do a sip of judgment to do that for sure too. I'll try to make it independent of what you're doing, but
okay.
I'm very curious to see what you think, being a bigger connoisseur of IPAs than I.
I like them.
Yeah, you like them more than me, maybe, is the better way to say
that. I think that's a better
that.
Way of putting them. I this is a unique beer, and I'm really glad that we finally had this one on the show. It's unique in the fact that it doesn't have that wallop that we were talking about in any stretch of it, be it on the flavor or the aroma or the bitterness. It has a lot of each, maybe not so much the aroma, but it does have a lot of flavor to it. And it does have a lot of bitterness, but it's not overwhelming. I kind of wish the hop profile was a little different. It seems a little... The types of hops they pick to use on this are striking me as a little bland. I kind of wish they would have gone a little bit funkier on it.
It's kind of a very classic hop profile.
It is.
Like a very... What do we say? This was 2001?
One
it was made.
Yeah.
So it kind of... Yeah, now with all these weird citrusy and this and that and...
I mean... I'm fine with it being in a more earthy, piney hop.
And mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, I think I'm leaning more that way. But then again, Toppling Goliath is back in business in Decorah, so I'll come back to that remark. But
okay.
I'm going to give this a 4.25. It's very good. I'm going to give Buster the edge over it in a head-to-head rating, just because.
Mm-hmm.
I wish that the hops were just a little bit more powerful. Not a lot, because the balance is really nice as is, but if it was just a little bit more hop oil in there, it would be great.
Okay. I'm going to go in for that save of judgment now. Yeah, I like as far as IPAs go, I think this is very good. I really like the smooth quality as the flavor
really
goes across your tongue.
Savory.
As I drink it a little more, it's not doing the spray paint, but it is getting a little bitter on the back of the tongue.
You're a little bitter.
I am a little bitter about this being bitter, but overall, I can't fault it too much. I'm going to give it a straight 4.
That's fair.
Yeah. And I would definitely like reach for this one again.
Oh, 100%.
I don't reach for a lot of IPAs, but this one is really undeniable in how...
It's that smoothness.
Yeah, that how smooth it is. And when you think about it, it's a 9% beer, too. I mean, it's even smooth in that regard, too.
You get a little bit of the burn,
mm-hmm.
but it's by no means too much.
Yeah, exactly. So definitely a great beer. Definitely one that I think that will elevate it to a potential beer of the year with that rating.
Really? Oh, yeah. We have kind of been all over the map so far this year.
Yeah, yeah.
It is only February.
Assuming we don't give a bunch of other high 4-star type ratings, yeah, I'll probably make it. I'm going to look at 60-minute IPA ratings. That was episode 62, so that would have been with Mike. And Mike gave that one a 4. I gave it a 3.75 for an average rating of 3.88. So
it's about where you had it now. You like this one more. You hate the other one.
You're right, yeah. I'm surprised I gave that other one that much. I mean, I probably, as far as IPAs go, that one's pretty darn good too. But this one, I think, definitely kicks it up a notch. Quite literally, obviously, because it's a notch above. And as far as ratings go, yeah, if I had a reach run, I'd probably go for the 90-minute.
Yes.
Yeah.
I agree.
And maybe someday we'll do the 120. I guess that was about
Steve.
90 episodes ago. So,
Steve!
Stay tuned for episode 240.
Oh, yeah.
Rate 120. No.
Oh, and we had our 151st anniversary today, Michael. Good work.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We kind of blew over the 150 episode. That's kind of a... That's not a big anniversary mark, but that is notable. We got our 3-year shindig coming up.
Oh, God, that's right. That,
yeah.
Ah.
I have something in mind, so stay tuned. Okay. We'll talk about it more at the swap. I have something at the swap for it. So
interesting. Okay.
But, yeah, that's another one down the gullet, Jeremy.
Indeed it is.
Do you want to do social media?
Sure, you can find us at APMPod at everything. So that means you can send us a tweet, much like host Emeritus Mike did, at APMPod on Twitter. You can send us an email if you want to get more in-depth than, what is it, 280 characters now?
Yeah. Ooh.
If you want to get more in-depth than that, you can shoot us an email at APMPod@gmail.com. We are on Untappd, where host Emeritus Mike puts up all the... puts up all of our ratings on Untappd like a mensch. A good man.
Yes.
You can rate and review and subscribe, if you would, on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Music, or an RSS feed, if you feel so emboldened. We have a YouTube page. We have a Facebook page. Hop on those. Yeah, go on there and look for that video of the dude fitting 4 beers in an upside-down Frisbee. It really is magnificent. It's something to behold.
Yeah.
But until then, that's another one down the gullet, Michael.
That is another one down the gullet, so we'll leave it at that. For Jeremy, I've been Michael.
For Michael, I've been Jeremy.
Cheers!
Cheers!